From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to week one of Rock Month. Once again, Rock Month 2019 here, and we are starting off with Stu's pick. And Stu, what band did you pick for week one of Rock Month?
Whoa, I'll pick Volbeat. Volbeat.
Okay. Yeah, so Volbeat is a band, they've gotten pretty big in the past, like, five or six years, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What's that sound? What's that non-sound? Wait, where's the guy from Denver?
Oh, my bad. I forgot to do what I normally do. John is not with us from the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado, but that voice you hear is Stu in Australia, and I'm Hunter in Dallas. But John is not here.
Tell him why.
He was like, nah. He had never heard Volbeat before. Stu sent him the Volbeat stuff, and John was like, man, it just sounds like 90s Danzig to me.
90s Misfits of Michael Graves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what he said, 90s Misfits with Michael Graves. Like,
yeah, maybe two songs, John, I get it, but the whole lot? God. He didn't only hear, like, two or three songs. He's like, yeah, it sounds like 90s Misfits.
Like, Volbeat's one of those bands that it seems like it's pretty easy to pigeonhole.
No.
But there's a lot more going on. And their sound has kind of changed, even though it seems like it's pretty consistent. But yeah, I kind of thought John wouldn't be down with the Volbeat. I think they're a little too new for him. I think they're a little too metal, maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
John would have got the whole sort of, because there's threads of country music in their sound as well. Not you know, pure hardcore country, but there's, you know, there's, we'll get to it.
It's the crossroads of country and rock, which is rockabilly.
Yeah, yeah, rockabilly, you know, and all sort of stuff. Exactly. So I thought John might have got that aspect of it, but no, clearly not.
Maybe, but I think if it was made in the 70s, you know, he probably would like it more. But
well, that was the thing I did wrong. I should have put, instead of, Guitars, Gangsters, and Cadillac Blood being 2008. I should have put like 1981 on the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I should have fooled him. It was 30 years earlier.
But so this band has kind of been getting bigger and bigger over the years. And, you know, I saw you start posting about them pretty recently. How did you get into Volbeat, and why'd you pick them?
Okay, well, like last year when I did the Macleods, I had pretty much started listening to them over and over again around January. So by the end of January, I knew who I was doing for Rock Month. That's how far ahead of it I was. I was like, I'm just doing Volbeat. That'll do it. But I got into them not that long ago, honestly, about 2013 it was. It was when Outlawed Gentlemen and Shady Ladies came out. I think that was 2013. I got into them via Boss Butcher over at the Terror Trip podcast. He and I were talking.
There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, he's disappeared from Facebook, that's for sure. He's had enough. He's over at Instagram, I think, as well, still. But Boss Butcher and I were talking one day, and he was like, I was talking something about Rockabilly something, and he goes, you got to check out Volbeat. I'm like, okay, just point me towards something, and he pointed me towards Guitars, Gangsters, and Cadillac Blood as the album to check out. Mm-hmm. And I heard it straight away, and I was fucking blown away. Just absolutely blown away. Then by the time Outlawed Gentlemen had just come out, so I picked that up, and somewhere along the way, I noticed there was a song they did with King Diamond as well. King Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I heard that Room 24. I was like, this is fucking unreal. This is the band for me.
Yeah, that song is great.
Yeah. So it stemmed from there, and but I'll get into it as we go along, because this is the only band I've ever done on a rock month of my picks where I was new to them only a handful of years ago.
Yeah, because this is a band I got into before you, if you can believe it.
I actually can, because you're more in step with things that are going on with current music scenes than I am. So I would believe it.
But I'm actually shocked I didn't introduce you to this band.
I am really stunned it wasn't you. But
because I discovered them during the life of the podcast. So. And I got into them because I think, and this is the band that sort of christens the big acts. You know, if this band takes you out, you're going to get a huge audience. And it was Metallica, I think, took them out. And I remember I've heard of them because Scott Ian, I read something where Scott Ian was talking about current music he was listening to, and he brought up Volbeat. And he said, Metallica took him out, and I'm kind of liking the mix of metal and Elvis. And, I was living in Memphis at the time, and I went, I should check this band out. And I think the album Beyond Hell Above Heaven had just come out.
Right.
It was brand new, and that was their breakthrough record here in the States.
Was that one, was it? Okay.
That was the one that really broke them, because Metallica took them out and everybody was kind of pushing them. It was kind of a similar thing that's happened with Ghost recently.
Right.
Because Metallica took out Ghost, everybody, all the big bands were pushing Ghost. And so now Ghost has kind of gotten a huge audience. Volbeat kind of had the same thing happen to them. At least that's the way from the vantage point where I saw it. But I heard them and, I immediately was kind of taken by its sort of mix of Metallica, pop punk, and
Elvis
and rockabilly. John kind of said it reminded him of Misfits, Michael Graves, but it's there's more to it than that, I think. But it was, it's very produced. It's very modern too.
Yeah.
You could definitely see this is a band that's kind of had a big audience. Like, was it Michael Polson, the creative force behind the band, was on Jamie Josta's podcast, and Jamie Josta was saying that Volbeat's the show to go to if you want to see beautiful women, because he said they have a huge female audience. That's the band that you see all the pretty girls at.
Yeah, I could actually see that.
And he was like, how do you do it, bro? But so, and not too long after that, I saw them. They played at Memphis in May at Beale Street Music Fest. And I got to see them. And Michael Polson was talking about, he's like, I got married at Graceland. That's rock and roll, yeah.
Yeah, that would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, and, that Memphis and that area, that imagery shows up a lot in his songs. And I've seen interviews where he talks about, taking his dad's comb to Elvis's grave and stuff like that.
Wow. That's fucking
rad. His dad, he apparently, that all came from his dad, because he loved that stuff. But because I don't know, do you know much about like the background of the band, like where they came from?
I've only just discovered it via, I picked up the DVD of them, Volbeat Live 2007, I think it's called, or Live Sold Out or something like that. And there's a two-hour documentary on there, so I did watch that. But are you talking about the fact that it came from that previous band, Dominus?
Yeah, they were, Michael Polson, and like, if you look at the, we kind of have, with Volbeat, you sort of have a Samhain Danzig situation, where it's sort of a band that evolved out of another group. And there was a death metal band called Dominus. Have you listened to any of it?
Yeah, I've checked it out on the net. Yeah.
It's pretty, you can find it on YouTube. It's pretty straightforward death metal. And a lot of the lineup on the first Volbeat record, The Strength, The Sound, The Songs, is former members of Dominus. I think it's Michael Polson, Hellboss, and Anders Kjolm are all members of that group. But I think the last Dominus record was called Volbeat.
Yeah, it was.
Vol.beat.
Yeah.
And it's less death metal. It has more of a kind of raw groove metal vibe, like very Pantera. I think it came out in like the late 90s, and it shows a little bit, but it's less produced.
A transitional sort of sound for them.
Yeah, and you can hear that. So, you know, Volbeat, you know, became the name of the group. So you sort of have a transition there. But Dominus is kind of something to check out if you're a really big fan of Volbeat and you want to see where it came from. But it's a, you know, the early stuff is like straight ahead death metal, you know, like he's clearly listening to a lot of Death and Obituary and whatever else.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I mean, did you pick up anything from that? Or sorry, my dogs are going nuts.
No, it was you know, just sort of straight ahead death metal. It's kind of like reminds me of the main guy from Ghost, Tobias Forge.
Oh, Tobias
Forge or Tobias Forge, what do you want to call him? Yeah.
No, I heard him say on Eddie Trunk, "What is?" He's like, "How do you pronounce your name?" And he's like, "Tobias Forge."
That made me so damn. Oh god, that enraged me at Eddie Trunk interview, because he's Eddie Trunk. You're an idiot. I'm saying it straight out. Ghost is, to me, is a great band. Really, really refreshing band to listen to. And
very,
he's like,
talented, like really like great mix of pop and rock.
Oh my
god.
And he's like, "Well, I just don't get it. So, don't get the look with the sound. Don't worry about the look. Listen with your ears, not your eyes, dummy. You know, don't worry about how they look. You know, oh, I think the Struts is the best. I checked out the Struts. Hunter, they're terrible. They are just rotten.
The new bands he pushes are always awful.
Greta Van Fleet, it's like, I don't care. It's,
whenever I hear a new band that's really good, Eddie sort of hems and haws at it. So
he does it with the Darkness as well. He's like, "Oh, well, they're okay." I'm just like, "Oh, you're a fucking
clown." Oh, man. You know, if you don't like the Darkness, I don't know what's wrong with you. If you're a rock fan,
I'm
like
a big
that.
Rock guy. I love rock, yeah, but you've got Ghost and you've got the Darkness here. I mean, does he even push Volbeat? I've never even heard him talk about Volbeat.
I've never heard him talk about Volbeat. You know, you'd think that this would be right up his street, you know.
Eddie Trunk, to me, reminds me of this guy. He's got this sort of small enclave of bands and friends that he keeps, and he will push them. Anything he tries to break that
inner the Winery circle. Dogs.
Oh, God. Where are they? Hello? Yeah, right. Exactly.
He's just, I don't know, like the Winery Dogs, he loves to push them because he likes to take credit for them existing. Oh, so it kind of makes him feel like he matters.
Mate, he's shilling for his own future, his own career. It's no doubt about it by doing this. There's kickbacks involved somewhere along the way. I am sure of it. But, he's just, so... Going back to the Ghost interview, he was just going, "Well, the look and the sound. The sound is what matters. You don't look at the band." I think Ghost look great anyway. How they're always, Tobias is always changing his look from Papa Emeritus to the second to the third, now the Cardinal Copia.
He's got like a big concept for it. And like, you know, you don't see that a lot. Like, it's almost like David Bowie in the 70s, you know, in the 80s.
The Ziggy Stardust. Exactly.
Yeah, he's got a different look and persona for everything. And it has like this weird mythos. And Volbeat kind of does this too. There's like a series of songs in Volbeat that tell a story.
Oh, the Mr. and Mrs. Ness thread.
Yeah. Like, you know, I can't remember all of them, but like there's Danny and Lucy, 11 p.m. and
Mr. and Mrs. Ness, and then there's
they have like
Marianne's
these through lines.
Yeah,
like you hear these like stories in Volbeat songs, and they carry over, and you go like, wait, what? We're talking about the same people? You know, it's not explicitly laid out for you, but it's there.
Yeah.
And kind of Ghost does that with their stage show. Like they have this weird, you know, upside down Vatican thing going on with their with their concept.
But the worst thing about Ghost as well, I only got into really recently, like in the last, say, sort of 6 weeks. They were in Melbourne about 2 or 3 weeks before that playing live. I didn't even know.
I saw them open for Iron Maiden.
Oh, really? Good show?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw them open on the Book of Souls tour.
That would have blown Maiden away. I'm pretty sure they would have come close to it.
It was great. I mean, Maiden put on an awesome show. I mean, I'm not, you know, no, even though it was mostly Book of Souls songs, you know, they were great. But and Bruce was awesome, and they had a crazy, you know, awesome Eddie and all that. But Ghost, you know, blew the lid off the place too. I mean, they were awesome. But I got into Ghost on the first record because I saw the album cover and I thought it looked awesome.
Oh, how could you not? Yeah, I was like, that straight away is like an attractive sort of prospect of like, I've got to check this band out.
I actually remember where I saw it. I saw it on a list of the best and worst metal album covers of the year. And Iron Maiden's The Final Frontier was one of the worst.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And one of the best was Ghost, and I went... Opus Eponymous, and I went, oh man, I gotta check this band out, you know.
Yeah,
it looks like Merciful Fate or something, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you know, enough about Ghost.
But check them out, guys. Yeah, check them out. They're fantastic.
Oh yeah, you know, that's a really, you know, eclectic and interesting band. They kind of look like a straight ahead metal band, but there's like just as much ABBA influence as there is Black Sabbath, you know.
They remind me of a band actually from their hometown of Sweden called Treat, who were out in the 80s and 90s as well. Yeah, I was listening to them and go, man, they sound a lot like this band Treat.
The band I hear them compared to most is Blue Oyster Cult, which I think is fair.
That's a good comparison. I'll give that one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it just sort of similar tone and style, but there's a little... You know, like, you know, you have stuff like Dance Macabre and it's like Swedish pop.
Oh,
know?
My God, that's so infectious, that song. When you hear it.
I remember when the video dropped with all the different like people like the Snapchat story video. I thought that was such a great idea for a cheap music video. You know, just get all your celebrity pals to listen to it with their smartphones. And
oh, wow, that's great. That album,
oh, yeah, there's like Kirk Hammett listening to it and like Chris Jericho and... you know, Chino from the Deftones and, you know, some like MMA people, you know, it was pretty cool. It was just a great idea for a music video.
Guys,
and then they did a bigger budget one too. So they'd done two, but I remember I was listening to it over and over again.
Yeah. That guys, honestly, check out that album they did from last year, Prequel. It's, I think it's the best album of last year, honestly, of 2018.
I listened to it more than any other record that year.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. I think it's
saxophones. You know
how good. Honestly, but you know what, Hunter, it works in that song.
Yeah, oh, I know. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying. You know, if you ever thought
I don't want
saxophones in my metal, yes, you do.
Oh yeah, it's when it's done right, it's actually really really well done. It's what an album. 40 minutes and you're done, and it's just.
I heard some people complaining it was too short. I'm like. But it's there's no fat.
Yeah, exactly. I listen to me. Honestly, I've said since I was a friggin' teenager, 40 minutes is all you need. That's plenty. If I see something that's out at 75 minutes, I start going, oh, jeez.
Well, and I think in the era of the CD, a lot of albums got to be too long, you know?
Oh, like, that was
you
the
know,
90s.
With the LP era, you know, it was kind of the sweet spot. And, you know, if you did a double album, it was like, okay, you know, you better justify using two records. But then, like, with the CD, everything became the length of a double album. And if people were doing a double album on CDs, you really know it was just going to be a bunch of nonsense. But yeah.
Can I give a perfect description of what you're saying right there? I picked up Smashing Pumpkins' Melancholy and Infinite Sadness.
Oh, I know it. Yes. Perfect example.
Right. And I listened to it from start to finish, both albums. And honestly, there's about 8 really cracking songs on there and about 16 just absolute duds.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I was younger, I thought that album was genius. And now I listen to it and I go, oh, man, if you had, like you said, 8 songs, you would have had another Siamese Dream. You know,
yeah.
Just another perfect album.
Yeah.
But no, it's just it's Billy Corgan buying his own hype, you know.
Yep.
But the Smashing Pumpkins have kind of struggled with that ever since. Because I think Siamese Dream is, you know, amazing.
Good
album. With Melancholy, it was good song, you know, fluff, good song, you know.
Yeah. The good songs on that one are really, really good, and the bad songs are just...
1979, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, those stuff's great, you know.
Yeah, Jelly Belly.
Jelly Belly, yeah, it's a good song.
But let's move over to Denmark.
Yeah, so the first album, the debut record from Volbeat is The Strength, The Sound, The Songs. And this sort of establishes a pattern. They're kind of like Megadeth with the ellipses,
yep.
You know? We have the slashes.
Yep.
The Strength, The Sound, The Songs. This was 2005, produced by Jacob Hansen. And the personnel, you have Michael Poulsen on vocals and guitar, and Franz Hellboss Gottschalk on lead guitar. However, all the guitars you hear up through Above Heaven, Beyond Hell are Michael Poulsen. He recorded all the guitars on the records, according to him. I saw an interview where he said he was talking about Rob Caggiano entering the band and how that was something that changed because he, up to that point, had recorded all the guitars for the albums.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I'll get into Rob Caggiano later. Yeah.
Yeah, so when we get to that, I'm just saying, you know, depending on who the lead guitar player is, that's live, basically, because it's Poulsen in the studio. You have Anders Kjellholm on bass, and those three make up Dominus, basically. And then John Larson on drums, and he's the drummer. He and Michael Poulsen are the sole consistent members of the group up to this point. The track listing, you have 15 songs. You've got Caroline Leaving, a cracking opener, I must say.
Oh, yeah.
Another Day, Another Way, Something Else, or .. They have a lot of funny titles that are just kind of weird.
Okay.
You got Rebel Monster, which kind of very straight ahead metal track. The Pool of Booza. And pool, it kind of imitates the way Poulsen talks. The pool, the booze, the booze, the booze. You know?
Yeah.
Always Woo. That's my favorite title of the track. Always Woo. It's like we're talking to the guy who peed on the dude's rug. You know, Woo peed on the rug.
I thought it was like Wushu martial arts. Although it's got to get John for sure. It's like, always
yeah,
woo,
I know.
But
it's Always Woo. You can always pee on my rug. Say Your Number. And then we have Soul Weeper, which is probably the most hilarious sad song ever written. Because it's so over the top.
Sorry. Yeah.
You know, so sad.
it's an Elvis attempt. No doubt.
It's almost like a cartoon of Elvis. I mean, you have Fire Song, Danny and Lucy, 11 p.m., Caroline Number One, Alienized, I Only Want to Be With You, which is a cover of
Dusty Springfield.
Yeah. And usually their albums have at least one cover on them. Everything's Still Fine and the final track, Healing Subconsciously. So this is a pretty long record. It's almost an hour long at 55 minutes.
Yeah. Getting back to what you were saying about their titles, I worked out, well, my theory is that being from Denmark, I think they've taken the Danish title, popped into Google Translate to English, and it's like, oh, that's what it means. That's what it's called. So put that there. And it doesn't quite work because it's a number of times it happens over their albums. We think, ugh.
There's some songs where I'm like, I don't know what this is. But I haven't done the deep dive on the lyrics to really figure something out. Like, Always Woo, you look at the lyrics, I don't know who Woo is.
No.
You know, it just seems like a, it just kind of seems like a song about losing someone. I don't know. it's kind of esoteric with the band. I don't know.
It's hard to tell with Paulson's singing style as well, because he has a very over style. So it's sort of buried in his tone, in his delivery.
Right. I mean, for me, you know, this is really, I think it's a pretty strong debut album.
Definitely.
It's probably the most metal record they've done, because I think you sort of see the metal edges sanded off as we go along, although they come back in strong, jagged edges on certain tracks later in records. But this one, I think, is a pretty solid mix of Elvis and
Metallica.
Like, Metallica, like Black Album Metallica.
If you listen to the song Alien Eyes, do you listen to the way that Paulson's singing? It's a dead set ripoff of Hetfield.
Well, he even does the Hetfield, like, yeah.
Yeah. Stuff, you know. Well, I think I'm trying to sing with my cold here, but what was it, an Alien Eyes says something, and he goes, yeah, the relays. It's just the delivery of it. It's just very James Hetfield-like. And that's what I said to you about, we're going to be doing Volbeat this year. And you go to John, I was like, a mix of Metallica. I said, don't tell him about Metallica because it's going to fucking put him right off.
I'm the reason John's not here. I planted that in his head like Leonardo DiCaprio in Inception.
You know? You said the M word.
Yeah.
That would not speaketh around John.
Yes.
John's dislike of Metallica is legendary.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty strong, it's a very metal record, you know, Rebel Monster, Caroline Leaving, Pool of Booze, you know, but you have that kind of country influence. Like Soul Weeper is kind of like a cartoon, like sort of sad song.
Well, Soul Weeper, they do a second one on the next album, which we'll get to shortly.
Yes, they do.
Soul Weeper.
It's like Unforgiven too.
Yeah, no, I think what it is more they've done Soul Weeper and they've gone, and Paulson's gone, it's not quite right. I'm going to do a second one on the second album and make it better. Yes.
Danny and Lucy, 11 p.m. is one I like quite a bit. It's good heavy. There's a lot of good heavy stuff on it. If you're a metalhead, this is going to be one you like quite a bit.
Absolutely. I agree. Don't get put off by the fact that it's got a lot of Elvis traits through it, because there's a lot of I was speaking to somebody last night and I was saying there's a lot of Elvis in metal music than what a lot of people know, not distinctly in the style of Elvis's singing voice, just there's just traits of Elvis peppered throughout.
I think you know, Elvis being the king of rock and roll, his, you know, you can see Elvis, you know, I know we brought up Danzig a lot, but you can see, like, in a lot of strains of metal and punk, you know, the rockabilly was such an influence on that, and Elvis was such a big figure in that, you know.
Actually, you know what, I might be wrong. I think it might be more punk that's taken from Elvis. You got the Misfits, you got the Cramps.
Yeah. Oh, I think punk is, it's more noticeable in punk than metal, but there's a strong punk sound in Volbeat. I mean, I think, especially as we go along, you hear more of a kind of 90s pop punk sound coming in. And I think we're going to get there. So what would you give The Strength, The Sound, The Songs out of 10, Stu?
8.5.
I give it a 7. I think it's solid. I like it a lot.
I think for an album with 15 songs, it can hold up that well with that many good songs on it. Happy to give it 8.5 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for an album that's almost an hour, there's really not a lot of filler on it, you know?
No.
It's solid. So a couple years later, we got Rock the Rebel, Metal the Devil.
Another Google Translate title.
Rock the Rebel, Metal the Devil.
Yeah.
So this one is produced by, I don't know who produced it. Oh, wait. Jacob Hansen again, producing. And the people we got Michael Polson, of course, Franz Hellboss on guitar, Anders Kjolm on bass, and John Larson on drums. You have a few guest musicians, like on The Garden's Tale, a guy named Johan Olsen appears, and you know, a few other people for when you have your sort of banjos and whatever, but it's the same lineup essentially.
And guest appearances would become a big thing for them later on.
Oh yeah, it almost becomes a staple of each album.
Yeah.
So the track listing on this one, we have The Human Instrument, Mr. and Mrs. Ness, The Garden's Tale, Devil or the Blue Cat Song, Sad Man's Tongue, River Queen, Radio Girl, A Moment Forever, Soul Weeper Number 2, You Or Them, and Boa. I think this is kind of, I'm not going to say more of the same, but it's very much a kind of a continuation of the same sort of style.
Yep.
Like it's very heavy, absolutely, lots of rockabilly, almost like this was part two of the same record.
Yeah, I agree, but it's better.
And you know, yeah, it is. Sad Man's Tongue is one that I thought was a cover.
I can understand that. You would actually think that was
the longest time.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's almost a compliment to the song.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, I was like, oh, yeah, that's like a Johnny Cash cover or something. No, it's not. Yeah.
No, just one of these. It's very, very well-written song.
Yeah, just he takes those tropes from country and rockabilly and uses them so well that you go, oh, I've heard this before. Yeah, he's covering something.
Well, if you look, let's just swing back to Michael Polson for a sec. If you look at the guy physically, there is tattoos of Elvis all over him, just on his all his arms and all. It's just Elvis. He's got a massive one of Elvis Aaron Presley on his arm. And yeah, so I
saw a video of him playing Inner Sandman with Lars, and he had a big old like Johnny Cash jacket on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I for years when I heard that song, I was like, oh yeah, it's a cover. No, it's not a cover.
If that guy lives in America, I dare say he's living in Nashville or somewhere in Tennessee.
Well, when I saw him in Memphis, this was a long time ago, but he was excited to be in town.
But they all say that. But that he genuinely may be excited to be in, you know, Tennessee for that matter. Because
But I mean, if you're a musician, though, like Nashville's the place where you'd want to live in America.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard it's become the sort of beacon of light for musicians these days to go to.
Mm.
Not so much Los Angeles these days; it's more Nashville.
Yeah, that's where the music business is.
Yeah,
is Nashville. LA is, it's just so expensive to live there. You can eke out a living in Tennessee, being a poor musician, a little easier.
You can always go live in, Elvis Presley Boulevard, sleep there.
I know. Elvis Presley Boulevard is like a post-apocalyptic hellscape.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's changed since I lived there, but it was, yeah, it's horrible. bad. It's really bad.
We've got our stories about Elvis Presley Boulevard, but we'll save it. That's between.
I'm sure we've told them on the show before.
Not if we told them all, but yeah, we had fun there. Anyway,
you see some of these like continuations of stories, like Mr. and Mrs. Ness.
Yeah.
The Human Instrument.
Best opener they've ever had for an album is that song.
Yeah, it's fucking a pretty insane. Epic opener.
Yeah.
Devil or the Blue Cat Song is another one that I thought was a cover.
Yeah, I can see it.
And it's not, but that's a compliment.
Well, Soul Weeper Number 2, you'd swear was a cover of someone, like a old country song they've just done in their own style, but it's not.
And it sort of seems like, when you're doing it almost seems like a rock and roll cover of a country song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of funny about it is that that's what throws you off is you go, oh, this is a cover of some slow, sad country song and they're doing it fast and happy. But no, that's the song they wrote.
Yeah.
But anyway. What are some other thoughts you have on this one, Stu?
It's my favorite of theirs.
I think of the like old school Volbeat records, this one is really good. It's an improvement on what they did with the last one.
Yeah.
But you know, I think you'll see more influences coming in later records, but this one's very consistent. It takes all the ideas and kind of distills them into a tighter package. This one's 42 minutes,
yep,
33 seconds. And so it's kind of a perfect length for an album. And I think really, there's no bad song. It's not like Radio Girl's a favorite.
Oh, yeah. There is not a bad song on this album. I think what they've done is they've realized the first one may have just had two or three a bit too many, and they've said, let's trim it right back. And
yeah,
this is the one.
Songs are tighter. They're shorter. It's good.
And apparently this is the one in Denmark that absolutely blew them into the next level. They were just like number one for weeks and weeks and weeks on the charts for this one, whereas the first one got into the charts but didn't hit number one, whereas this one just got them everywhere and got them noticed in their home country.
Yeah, so, it would be a little bit before they got noticed over here.
Yeah.
But I think the next record would really kind of push them over the top. So what would you give Rock the Rebel, Metal the Devil?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to give this album a perfect 10. It is not a bad song on there. And honestly, I'll go one step further and say, much like Master of Puppets, or you could argue Ride the Lightning, I will. Much like Slayer's Raining Blood, which I'd argue South of Heaven. Much like Megadeth's Rust in Peace or Peace Sells. Much like Exodus' Bonded by Blood. I'm going to say this is an essential addition to your collection. Don't even listen to it. Just go buy it. It is perfect. Perfect. I've heard this album this many times. It is not funny. And it is just, it is unbelievable. If you're going to buy one Volbeat album, you've got $15 or $16 in your pocket, if you will, and you need to go buy something, go buy Rock the Rebel, Metal of the Devil. It is stunning. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 across the board from me.
I'm going to give it a 9. I think it's really good. It's not an album I've listened
what's
to.
Stop, as much. Okay, well, let me ask you. I'm not trying to change your mind, but what's stopping you from saying this is a full-on 10?
I think a full-on 10 is just, well, a full-on 10 is just an album that is one that I just reach for nonstop. And with Volbeat, it's kind of a mix of stuff from various albums that I love. But this one is a great album. There's not a bad song on it. And I think a 9 is a really great score.
Oh, no, 9's a solid rating. I'm just curious what the 10 was, because I'm just trying to take it from my angle where, for me, it is the one I reach for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. And, you know, I think when I got into Volbeat, now that I think about it, I was listening to this one the most. But I didn't really know it, because when I got into them, Above Heaven Beyond Hell was out, and then I bought all their records.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of listening to everything, so I didn't really think about which album was the best,
right,
necessarily, because it was kind of like – it was almost like it was all one thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but this was the one I probably listened to the most. Because the songs on it are the ones that I'm like, oh, yeah, that one, you know. It's really good.
You can pick one. Like, you can have it on a shuffle, this album, and any song will play. You go, yep, cool. I'll listen to this.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll listen to it.
Hey, let me ask you, before we jump into the next one, how many Volbeat albums do you own on vinyl?
That's a good question. I don't think I have any, actually.
Because I've seen their vinyl albums for sale, and they're not very expensive, like $15 or something. So Anna's got to have these for sure, at least some of them.
I you would think so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to log into my Discogs to see. Here we go. Okay, let me see my collection. I'm gonna look up and see if I have any Volbeat. I do not have any on vinyl.
Wow. Okay.
I just haven't seen them here. I don't know. That doesn't mean I don't want them.
No, I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying I thought in Dallas.
You would think I would have these on vinyl, but you know, I just haven't seen them a lot at the store.
You probably haven't even been looking for them, to be honest with you. You're probably just like, oh, you know, looking out for the
probably
own.
Probably not, but when, you know, Well, I think the only one that came out when I was collecting avidly was Seal the Deal. And so I probably haven't been actively looking for them, but if, you know, if I see any of these, I'll pick them up. Anyway, so that's Rock the Rebel, Metal the Devil. Stu says it's the essential full beat record. I agree.
Yes.
The next one's the one that I think was the big kind of push over the top for them. This is the one that got them noticed internationally, even though the one after it's the one that, you know, blew up here in America. I don't think that would have happened without this record. And that's 2008's Guitar Gangsters and Cadillac Blood, again produced by Jacob Hansen. And you've got a little bit of a different lineup: Michael Polson, John Larson, Anders Kjellholm, and a guy named Thomas Bredahl's on lead guitar. But again, he's not actually recording, so it's Polson doing all the strings there. So the track listing, you have Intro, Into the Road, Guitar Gangsters and Cadillac Blood, which was actually, I remember that one was covered by some bands.
Yeah.
Now that I remember, that's one of the ways I heard of them, now that I think about it, but I'll have to think about who did that. You have Back to Prom. Very good. Kind of a really fun rockabilly song. Kind of a teenage, like, you know, song. Marianne's Place. And this one, that one features a guest musician, Pernille Rosendahl of the band The Storm, which I've never heard of. Hallelujah Goat, Maybelline Hofteholder, We Still Counting, Light Away, Wild Rover of Hell. You have a Hank Williams cover, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. A Broken Man and the Dawn, Find That Soul, and a Jimmy Work cover called Making Believe. So yeah, Guitar Gangsters and Cadillac Blood was a, that was the first Volbeat song I ever heard. And you can kind of see why, because it's got striking imagery and kind of cartoonish sort of, you know, noir imagery that's on the cover of the album.
Yep.
I think this was the second one I got, but I need to see who covered that song. Cause I heard it, I think, first on a cover.
Yeah. First album I heard it as well was this one, the one that Boss Butcher pointed me towards, and it was,
Got it was Atreyu. Atreyu did a cover of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, like, oh, this Volbeat band's getting huge because this band's doing a cover of it. Anyway, I didn't think about that till just now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, thoughts on this?
I think it's a much more polished record. The songs are catchier, you know, they're a little more, there's a lot of kind of crowd pleasers. Like, you know, if you go to a Volbeat show, they're probably going to play, Maybelline Hofteholder. They're probably going to play We
Still Counting.
Guitar Gangsters and Cadillac Blood was a big song. I like Back to Prom a lot. I think that's a really fun song.
Yep.
I agree. I really hate the Hank Williams cover.
Really?
I'm So Lonesome. Yeah, oh, I don't like
love,
it.
I love it, man. I think it's fantastic.
I mean, that's a sad song, and it's like a, it's almost like a silly take on it. I just don't like it. I like Making Believe, though, the Jimmy Work cover. I think that's a great one.
See,
like,
I didn't even know until last week that was a cover song. I thought it was one of theirs.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, they've just done another Google Translate title, Making Believe. Like, makes no sense, but it's, I'm like, okay, I'll cut them some slack. It's not their title. It was actually an old song, so. Yeah, but for me, this album is just a tad, I really like it. Like I said, it's the first one I heard, but it's just a tad bit more disjointed than the first two are.
I think it's more kind of singles oriented, you know, like I think it's really going for the breakthrough here that they got with the next record.
And that is a problem Volbeat have suffered over the years, is especially the last couple of albums, is really looking for that radio hit. And but we'll
they go more in the radio direction. You start to see that with this record. I think it's not on full display. I think on the next record, you know, and it's going for the radio songs, and it worked, you know, because it blew them up.
Yeah, but like a note to Michael Paulson, I know you know what you're doing, but it's not 1981 where you can get a radio hit these days. It's 2019 where radio hits pretty much don't exist. It's very,
well, it's
very
like
rare
a
breakthrough.
You know, radio is like dictated by algorithms. Like, you know, you can get, you know, a song that does well on like Sirius or something, you know,
yep.
Octane or Ozzy's Boneyard will play it. But, you know, it's I don't know. But it worked for them because they, you know, the next record was the hit record for them, that the crossover album. But I think this one sort of got them noticed by their peers, at least, because Metallica took them out. You know, other bands are covering their stuff. That's pretty big, you know.
Yeah.
Or established bands like Atreyu, you know. More established at the time. Volbeat's bigger than they are now. But
I guess you could compromise your sound just a tad if it's going to get you
sure
bigger and more well-known amongst the general populace out there.
It's like Lemmy said. He said when, you know, we got a record deal, one of our fans came over and who was like a loyal showgoer was like, "Well, you guys sold out." And he goes, "Who do you think we're playing? You think we just want to play for you the rest of our lives?
You think we want to just play for you the rest of our lives?"
Yeah. He was like, "Yeah, do you think I just want to sit here and do you think we just want to be playing in the bar to you the rest of forever?" No. Yeah. So.
No.
Yeah, but but I think with this album, you start to see them sort of going in more of a commercial direction, which I think they were gunning for from the beginning. I mean, nobody's, you know, trying to stay obscure, but I mean, it's really starting to go for it here.
Yeah.
So what would you give Guitar Gangsters, Cadillac Blood?
Well, I'll say my favorite song on this because we haven't done the favorite song from
We haven't done the favorite songs. Oh, but, my goodness. What's the matter with me?
Yeah. I'll say my favorite song on this is, I do like Hallelujah Goat quite a bit. It's got some cool riffs in it. Yeah, that and I'll say, probably the Hank Williams one as well. I do like quite a bit.
Man, that's my least favorite on there. I like Back to Prom. I think that's a fun rockabilly tune, kind of a teenage song.
Oh, and the title track as well is good.
Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah. Okay, so but let's go backward real quick. Rock the Rebel, Metal the Devil, what's your favorite song on there?
Danny and Lucy, 11 p.m.
And that's the first one. That was I'm going back.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Yeah, Human Instrument. I think it's just fucking insane.
For me, it's Radio Girl. And yeah. Strength to Sound the Songs, you said Danny and Lucy, 11 p.m. Sticking by that.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's, I think I'm going to agree with you there. That's my favorite as well.
I think we'll make that the opener for this show.
Yeah. Danny, yeah. Good stuff. So the next album they did, this is the one that I think broke them through in the States. This was 2010's Beyond Hell Above Heaven.
I didn't rate the last one.
Oh yeah. Rate it. Sorry. Dang it. Sorry. Bad.
All over the shop.
Rating Guitar Gangsters and Cadillac Blood, what would you give it, Stu?
I'm going to give it 7 and an 8. An 8.
I'm going to give it a 7. You know, I think it's solid, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not as cohesive. Beyond Hell Above Heaven. Next album, 2010. Once again, Jacob Hansen producing. And it shows, you know, the sound doesn't change much.
Nope.
Same exact lineup as last time. But we have some guest musicians.
Quite a few.
I will name those as we get there. So the track listing, we have The Mirror and the Ripper, Heaven Nor Hell, which has Henrik Hall from the band Love Shop doing guest vocals. Not vocals. He's doing the harmonica. Who They Are. We've got Fallen, which was one of the big singles on this one. A Better Believer. Seven Shots, which has Millie Petrozza from Creator.
Yeah.
guest vocals, and Michael Denner from Merciful Fate on guitar. Very cool having some Danish metal royalty on there. You have a New Day, $16, which has a guy named Jacob Uyland doing slap bass. We've got a Warrior's Call, which is the MMA track.
I was going to say, my God, if that's if they're shilling for an MMA or a WWE song,
they actually,
somewhere, it's that
I looked it up because I was sitting there going, were they like trying to sniff around for MMA money? But it was made for a Danish boxer named Mikael Kessler.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so they made it for a boxer. So it was kind of commissioned. We also have Magic Zone, Evelyn featuring Barney Greenway from Napalm Death, which is probably probably the weirdest inclusion here. And that's a live staple of theirs. They play that one live a lot.
Yeah.
Being One, which is another weird title. Thanks, which is their sort of pop punk Thanks the Fans song.
Yeah.
You've got Angel F, the Misfits song.
Angel F, yeah.
Yeah, and Still Counting. Though that you know, the Misfits cover and Still Counting are both bonus tracks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one is much more mainstream, I think.
Yeah, it is.
I like the song, Nickelback song or something.
Yeah.
A Warrior's Call is made for UFC, even though, you know, yeah, it's commissioned and it's legit. You know, they did it for a boxer.
Yep.
But at the same time, you have a song like Evelyn, which has Barney Greenway, which is the most uncommercial person you could put.
Pretty much, song. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that is that we're straight back in, like, it's like death metal rockabilly. It's great.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm glad John didn't get as far as Beyond Hell above him, because he would have said, Evelyn, I'm out of here. I'm gone.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think this album, like the last one, I think even more so feels like a collection of singles. But the songs on it, I think a lot of the songs are pretty good. You know, Seven Shots, $16.
Yeah.
I love Evelyn Being One. Thanks is really catchy, even though it's really cheesy. Heaven Nor Hell, Mirror in the River.
Yeah, Heaven Nor Hell is the one that'll go, like, it's singles time, guys. Let's get this one out there.
That is a single right there.
Yeah.
That's another one that could be a Nickelback song or something.
Like, Thanks, I was like, this is just dumb. I don't like this song.
I got it. It's a stupid song, but I would be lying if I said I didn't have fun listening to it. Because when I got to it, when I was re-listening to it, I was like, oh, this is that stupid song where they're saying thanks to their fans. And I was like, okay, let's do it. But then I was like, I was working out and I was like going, hey, I'm having fun.
But for me, it's not as bad as, say, Fiend Club from Misfits, which is the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
No, Fiend Club is the bottom of the barrel, for sure.
That makes me want to throw that album out the window.
We are the Fiend Club. Okay, yeah. No, thanks. Honestly, if you had taken Michael Polson's vocals out and had Dexter Holland singing it, it would be a perfect Offspring song.
Probably, yeah. And songs like Magic Zone's a single attempt, and I like it, but this album's disjointed.
I think you're seeing more pop punk coming in here too. You know, like, I think really the pop punk influences come in hard later. I think you start to see like more sort of a pop punk influence here with this. You know, which is fine. I like pop punk. You know, but if that's not your thing, you're probably not gonna be thrilled with the direction they're going here.
Yeah. And by pop punk, you don't mean all that shit that's on Fat Records, you know, the
No.
Thank God.
Like Screeching Weasel. I'm talking like Offspring, like kind of the 90s, Blink 182, you know, stuff like that. You know, like where you have a lot of gang vocals and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that on the album, for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's... I got to tell you, when the album came out and I listened to it a lot, you know,
right.
As a whole, you know, we like albums as a whole, it's more of a collection of singles and, But it fits in sonically. It fits in with the previous three records pretty well.
For me, it sounds like about three different albums, and somebody's made an iTunes playlist of the best songs from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's it's probably the one that of the first four, because I'll get into the next two. It's for me, it's the weakest of the first four.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's goes without saying.
And by first four, I mean before Caggiano joins as a member.
Yeah. So you know, this album, even though it does have some favorites, like I listen to Evelyn a lot. That's a ripper.
Oh, Evelyn, we have to make the end song of this episode for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Barney Greenway just like blowing through it. Like it's like Napalm Death.
Yeah.
It's almost like a troll.
Well, when I first heard it, I'm like, the fuck is it? Oh, that's Barney. Oh, let's say Napalm Death. I didn't like the song when it first came. I'm like, fuck this. This is a skip. But now it's probably one of my favorites on there. I think it's
fucking great.
Oh,
I know. I love it. It's... And when they do it live, they just do it straight. They do death growls for it. And
yeah. I'll tell you one thing. If Napalm Death sounded like this, right, and didn't try and play it, you know, 3,000 beats per minute, I would actually listen to them.
Have you listened to Diatribes? They're kind of 90s stuff.
No.
Listen to the Napalm Death album Diatribes. You might like it. It's
okay.
Different. Oh, yeah, it doesn't sound like – it's not the super fast stuff. It's slowed down a more. You check out Napalm Death's Diatribes. You might like
it. Stick it on my iTunes, Apple Music for sure to listen to tonight.
Check out Diatribes. If you like Greenway's kind of death growls, because I think he's one of the best like extreme vocalists. But you know, Napalm Death went through a lot of phases where they were doing a lot of different stuff. So, you know, if you don't like the really fast early stuff, you know, check out some of that era.
I did. I did pop them on because I listen to just at work. I listen to my Apple Music because I've got that now every month, you know, monthly subscription and that. And I just thought, Napalm Death. They roll up in the recommended thing. I'm like, all right, I'll chuck on. And the one I chucked on was Scum, I think it was called. Okay.
Yeah, that's really early. Barney was in the band. Barney didn't join till goodness, what's that album called? It was the first one they did in Florida. Because it was like straight up death metal. It was called, I'll figure it out. But, you know, he was their third vocalist because it was Nick Bullen, then Lee Dorian, then Barney. It was Harmony Corruption. That was his first one.
Okay.
That one's more of a Florida death metal record.
No, all right.
Yeah. But anyway, so. But yeah, kind of, I guess it must, you know, it's kind of a throwback to their death metal days, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your favorite song on this one?
I actually like $16 and Evelyn are my two favorites.
Yeah, I like those two. I think Evelyn's probably my favorite because it's just so out there.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go with one without if I'm going to go with a different one, I maybe put Seven Shots.
That's really good because it's got that sort of Western feel to it.
Yeah. And it's got Millie Petrozza on it.
Yeah, it does. Only in limited spots, but still, it's not like Evelyn where it's a lot of it's Barney. You know, with Seven Shots, it's more just a little bit of Millie and more Michael.
Yeah, it's more of Michael.
Yeah.
Michael's doing just the chorus kind of on Evelyn. Anyway, so what would you give this one?
I mean, this is a 7. It's still a solid album. Just a bit of a patchwork quilt. But
I'll give it a 7 as well.
Yeah.
So the next album, this was the first one I got right when it came out. You know, this is Outlawed Gentlemen and Shady Ladies. And this is from 2013. And this one, okay, Jacob Hansen is producing on it, but it's also produced by Volbeat and Rob Caggiano. And Rob Caggiano also plays lead guitar, and he's actually playing lead guitar on it.
Yeah.
And so, but you still have Michael Polson, Anders Kjolm, and John Larson on drums. And so Rob Caggiano, for those who don't know, he's a pretty big producer. He produced what are they called?
Anthrax.
Cradle of Filth.
Anthrax.
He produced Anthrax. He produced Cradle of Filth, but he was also the lead guitarist of Anthrax.
Yeah.
And he also has a band with Danny Filth called Temple of the Black Moon.
Oh, God, of course.
Yeah. But so, yeah, this album makes me think of when the Eagles – I was watching the Eagles documentary, the big epic History of the Eagles documentary, and they talked about making Desperado.
Yeah.
And one of the record executives goes, oh, no, they made a cowboy record.
Yeah.
They turned it in. Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies is a cowboy record.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
This is a straight up cowboy record with occasional breaks. You know, you have a few songs that are not cowboy songs, like Room 24, which is kind of a Sabbath-y, you know, song with King Diamond.
Yeah.
But this album is a straight up like cowboys and Indians Western, oh, but with a horror twist.
The opener, Let's Shake Some Dust. It's like, okay, we're heading into that cowboy territory.
So here's the track rundown. You got Let's Shake Some Dust, which is kind of your guitars and, you know, opener. Pearl Heart, The Nameless One, Dead But Rising, Cape of Our Hero, Room 24, which has the mighty King Diamond doing guest vocals. And we got The Hangman's Body Count. We've got a Young the Giant cover of a song called My Body. Lola Montez, Black Bart, Lonesome Rider, which has a lady named Sarah Blackwood doing guest vocals. The Sinner Is You, Doc Holliday, and Our Loved Ones. So, you know, the track list alone should give you an kind of a hint as to the direction of this album. It is a cowboy Western, but it's got a horror twist to it. You know, there's a lot of horror imagery, but a lot of Western imagery.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the most different they've been. And I remember fans kind of revolting and kind of hating on it when it came out because they thought it was too, you know, wasn't heavy enough.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot more kind of a polished sound. Caggiano is a very polished producer, and yeah, the you can tell though that Poulsen isn't recording all the guitars because Caggiano adds a different flavor to it. So
I don't like what he adds to Volbeat. I don't like it.
Yeah, you don't like it. I mean, I think he's a really good guitar player.
I'm not knocking his ability as a guitar player. He just does not fit Volbeat.
Right. He's kind of a – I mean, I don't think he's bad. And I think for him, moving from Volbeat – from Anthrax to Volbeat was probably a step up.
Oh, it was, considering where Anthrax were. I mean, if it was Anthrax 1987, sure, no one's leaving that band because they
– I mean, and like on one hand, Anthrax is kind of an institution.
Yeah.
So it's a dependable gig. But Volbeat, you know, was just growing like crazy at the time. So, you know, it seemed like it was a graduating move for him to join them.
But what I'm going to say now is not to be taken with any offense. Caggiano is too American sounding. He's guitar playing for a very European band.
A European band that is taking American influences and taking them through a European filter.
Exactly. Exactly.
And whereas Caggiano is kind of coming from just a straight American, like kind of metal background.
And Caggiano's solos are too, they feel too, he's trying to fit too much into a small space of time on the song to do a solo. It's like every other solo previously on the first four albums, okay, obviously now they were done by Poulsen, were just simple and they got you through that section of the song. Here, Caggiano's trying to just, you know, riff off like he's, you know, Marty Friedman or something. I mean, no, simplify it.
I mean, I think Caggiano's solos are kind of, I mean, I think they're kind of catchy. I like his solos, but I, you know, it's a different sound, you know, and I think this album, there's a lot less metal and a lot more polish, a lot more pop.
Yeah.
You know, I think the imagery is strong with the lyrics. Like, you know, I think a lot of the stories in the song come out really strong, like Pearl Heart, Lola Montez, Doc Holliday. Those all have really strong lyrics that paint a really strong picture.
Yeah.
That's one thing I really like about this record is I think the lyrics kind of give you a really vivid image.
You know what? Carry on.
It's a good concept record in that regard. See, it is kind of a concept album, really.
If you, the only thing I was going to say is if you can visualize with a film, if you've seen the one I'm about to bring up, to what this album sounds like, if any of you have seen From Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter, it reminds me of this album quite a bit.
It is very Dusk Till Dawn 3. It's a horror western.
Yeah.
You know, like you have Pearl Heart, which is like a western story, desperate girl robbing stuff. And then you have The Nameless One, which is like undead skeletons in a western setting. And Dead But Rising, Poulsen said that song was about when he combed his dad's beard at his dad's funeral. And he said he was going to take the comb to Elvis in Memphis. And he said he was driving, and it was his first time in America, and he was driving down to Tupelo, and his navigation went out. And he said he looked up and saw an eagle in the sky, and his dad loved eagles and had an eagle tattooed on him. And so he decided he would follow the eagle, and the eagle took him to Tupelo. That's what that song's about.
Yeah.
Silly.
It's
funny.
It's a hell
it's
of a
funny
story.
Silly. Yeah. Room 24, though.
How good is it?
It's great. It's like King Diamond. King Diamond hasn't made an album in a long time.
A long time.
And he had some health problems. Like he had heart surgery and he quit smoking and all this stuff. He's been touring, but he's been working on a new record. But this was one of the few, if you're a King Diamond fan, this is one of the few appearances you've gotten of King in a long time. And it does not disappoint. It is a very good song.
In terms of collaboration that King Diamond's done with people, I like this one better than he did the one he did with Probot.
Yeah, I agree. Sweet Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is much better. What do you think of the Young the Giant cover? My Body.
Yeah, it's there.
It's very pop punk.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where the first half of this album, in my opinion, is strong, and the second half falls away.
I like Lola Montez. I like Doc Holliday, but like Lonesome Rider, The Sinner's You, The Love, Our Loved Ones, Black Bart. I can't even imagine those in my head.
Black Bart, I don't mind.
Yeah, I like that. I don't remember disliking it. It's just like, you know.
Yeah,
I can think of those when I look at the tracks. I go, okay, that song's that one, that one, that one. But when you get to later in the album, that's where there's some filler. And I think Lonesome Rider is kind of one I could just do without.
Yeah, it's another one to sit.
I mean, that's one I know that song. I hear it in my head, and I just don't care for it. Yeah.
No.
No. So you know this, but yeah, this was the first one I got when it came out, and I remember thinking it was different, and I didn't hate it.
Didn't love it.
You know. It's, you know, it only has a handful of songs I listen to. So, you know, for me, favorite song is easily Room 24. I imagine it is for you as well.
Yeah, Room 24, Nameless One is behind that, and Dead But Rising.
Dead But Rising is really good.
Yeah, be my three favorites.
Yeah. Good stuff. So what would you rate it overall?
6. It's the least of them so far.
I think it's a 6 as well.
Yeah.
Good singles on there. You know, if you like the band, check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is a cowboy record.
Without a doubt.
All right. The next album, the final one we're going to cover is 2016, Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie. And the producers are...
Best title for an album they've had since.
Also the best cover, I think.
Does it remind you of Bronson? Not Charles Bronson, but the actual Bronson.
Yeah, Bronson, the Nick Winding Refn movie with Tom Hardy, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's produced by Jacob Hansen again, Rob Caggiano, and Michael Polson. Same lineup as last time. Actually, I take that back. The bass player left Anders Kjellberg. It's his first one without them. They said he left under amicable circumstances, and but so Michael, I think Rob Caggiano plays bass on it as well as lead guitar.
Go away.
But they have a new bass player now.
Go away, Rob Caggiano, please. Go away.
So the track listing is we've got The Devil's Bleeding Crown, which is a great name for a song.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Laveau, For Yngwie, featuring a guy named Johan Olsen. We've got The Gates of Babylon, which I thought was a cover of the Rainbow song.
So did I. Yeah, when I saw
and it is not. It is not. But it definitely has allusions to it with the guitar, the lead guitar playing. Let It Burn, Black Rose, featuring Danko Jones. We'll talk about Danko Jones in a little bit.
Yep.
Rebound, which is a title that plays into their next record that's coming out. Mary Jane Kelly, Goodbye Forever, Seal the Deal, and then a cover of Battleship Chains by Terry Anderson. You Will Know, and The Loa's Crossroad.
Yep.
So, this is their newest record to date, and I'm going to say I also think it's probably their weakest.
Oh, without a doubt. I don't like it. I'm just going to say it straight out. I don't like it.
I think it has some good songs, but if you like the metal side of this band, you're really going to hate this record, because yeah. I think The Devil's Bleeding Crown's about as heavy as it gets, and maybe Gates of Babylon.
I would say Lover's Crossroad is a good one.
I like Black Rose, too. I like Danko Jones.
There's for me, there's three songs in there, which I'll get to when we get to the end of this one, but there's all the rest can just go jump. I don't like it.
So, I like Marie Laveau is one that kind of fits in with the, if it was on the last record, I would have considered that to be one of the good ones on there, because it's kind of a similar, it sounds like it could be on that album.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right. That aspect, yeah.
But so Danko Jones appears on the song Black Rose. Are you a fan of Danko Jones?
Who the hell's Danko Jones?
You never heard of Danko Jones?
No.
Okay, so Danko Jones, it's one of those Alice Cooper situations where he's the dude, but he's also the band, you know?
Yeah, never heard of him.
But, Danko Jones, when I first heard Danko Jones, they kind of came out in that sort of early to mid 2000s when there was kind of the rock resurgence with like Jet and Darkness and, White Stripes and all that. They kind of came out in that wave of music, but I didn't really hear them until recently, and I heard the album We Sweat Blood from 2005, and I thought it was awesome. It's like great. Oh no, it's 2003, excuse me, not 2005. It is great, straight ahead, sleazy rock and roll. If you like old AC/DC kind of that sort of really hard, straight ahead formulaic rock. Now, that is probably the only album by them you need to own. I don't say that authoritatively because I haven't listened to every album they've made, but every other one I've listened to, I've sort of felt like, it doesn't grab me the way this one did. Sweat Blood is a really good album.
You know, if you like that sort of AC/DC sound, then you need to check out a band called Airborne, who is basically the AC/DC reincarnate.
Yeah, well, I mean, and they don't like have that sort of like screechy sound or anything. It's just that where it's kind of, we have a really awesome rock formula and we're sticking to it.
Yeah,
but check out We Sweat Blood. I'd like to know what you think of it.
I will pop it on the playlist tonight.
Yeah, but Danko Jones does the guest vocals on Black Rose, and he brings sufficient Danko Jonesiness to it. They just put out a new record like the other day, a couple weeks ago. But again, it didn't grab me the way We Sweat Blood did. It was kind of like they had their perfect thing that they're about, and they haven't sort of known what to do since. But that's just my take on it. I haven't listened to everything. I'm sure somebody will tell me there's another awesome Danko Jones record I need to check out.
Okay. Well, let's see how we go.
This one's kind of a wash for you.
Yeah, it I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, because it does, but it is absolutely one I would not point anybody towards if they wanted to learn about Volbeat.
No.
I would tell them it'd be the last one to check out.
Yeah, I think for me, like, there's some good songs. I like Devil's Bleeding Crown.
Yes.
Marie Laveau. I like Gates of Babylon. Black Rose is fun.
I love the title track, Seal the Deal. I think it's great.
Yeah, Seal the Deal is good. That's about it.
And Lowest Crossroad.
Yeah, Lowest Crossroad. Yeah, that's a good one. It's much more commercial. It's much more polished. It's continuing in the direction from Outlaw Gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but it's definitely a step down.
Mm-hmm. I remember when it came out, I didn't listen to it. I listened to it like once, and that was it.
Yeah.
Same. I listened to it again when we were preparing for this.
Yeah, twice only for me. I think three times. I heard it once, again about a few days after. I wanted to try and get a bit of a different perspective on it. A few days later, I heard it again, didn't like it, and then again for this. That was it.
Yeah, and the songs that are bad, they're not like offensive. They're just forgettable.
It's just them just trying to go for the radio hit. Okay, maybe this one will work. Let's put another one. This one. That Battleship Chains, fuck that off. Worst song.
It's terrible.
Absolutely hate it. Does not even suit them. Just, yeah. Now you've told me
it's kind of like that. They kind of have this thing they're doing where they've got the pop punk, like, I want to do like a Dropkick Murphys like working class song type thing, and that's more pop punk influence. And I think the next one, have you? Well, we'll get to it in a second. What's your favorite song on this one?
Be Seal the Deal.
Seal the Deal.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I think Devil's Bleeding Crown is the favorite for me because that's the only one I listened to multiple times. Like,
right.
You know where I'm like. That's one I would go back to after I bought the album.
Right.
I forgot to mention that Rebound is a cover as well from a Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Oh, okay.
So,
again, zero interest because I have zero interest in the album. It's because it's just it lays there. It's just not good for me.
So, rating for you for Seal the Deal?
Man, like 4.5. That's being generous. I really don't like it at all.
I give it a 5. I think it's just perfectly average. There's a lot of forgettables, a few good songs. You know, the way a lot of albums are for me, a few good songs, a lot of stuff I don't listen to. So just kind of peeking into the future, Volbeat have a new record coming out this year.
Yep.
And it's the same exact team that made this last one, except they've got a new bass player. And they've released two songs. Have you heard them, Parasite and Leviathan?
I have.
What are your thoughts? Well, Parasite is like a straight-out pop-punk song. It's 30 seconds. It's like 37 seconds long.
Yeah. It's like, is this a preview of the song, or is it the full song? But
yeah, I was like, wait, it's over? It was like a grindcore song.
They copped a bit of backlash for putting out the preview song being only, half a minute. Yeah, so it's okay. I don't like Leviathan. It's like, oh, no, it's just a carry-on from Seal the Deal sound.
Yeah, it's Leviathan is another radio hit. I got to admit, though, I think it's catchy. Like, I do kind of enjoy it.
Leviathan, I'll burn your eyes. I mean, really?
Oh, no. Hey, look. All criticisms are valid. I'm just saying I enjoy it, but yes, it is another like, hey, let's get a radio hit.
I hope it's the most commercial song on the album. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
It seems to be a double album. I don't know if that's the majority of the second album being just demos and stuff. I really haven't looked.
Well, it's the main album is 56 minutes, and then there's a bonus disc that has demos and a few extra songs.
Right.
So it's not a real double album.
Okay. So,
and the guest singer you'll see on there is Neil Fallon from Clutch on the song "Die to Live."
Yeah, I don't mind Clutch. They're okay.
Yeah, I like Clutch. They're actually a great live band. I've seen them a few times live, and they rule live. They're so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind them. I'm going to be slightly optimistic with this one. I'm actually going to walk in there with a zero expectations and see if I'm pleasantly surprised or disappointed as I expect to be.
I'm going to pick it up. I've already...
Oh, so am I. I'm not going to. That's not going to happen, but I am going to be I'm at arm's length with it. I'm going to listen to it. And I hope I'm pleasantly surprised with it like I was when I heard Cheap Trick with Bang Zoom. Just how blown away I was.
Yeah.
I hope they can do that to me, and I will say, hey, I'll put my hand up and say, you know what, I was wrong. So...
Well, but so final diagnosis for Volbeat. I think if you're a rock fan, you know, pick up like the first three records, but start with Rock the Rebel, Metal the Devil. But and if you like that one, check out Strength the Sound the Songs.
Yep, that's you can't go wrong with that one either.
I think those are classics to me. I listen to them a lot. You know, when I got into the band, those were albums that I listened to regularly. You know, and I got excited for the show because, you know, when we heard you said you were doing Volbeat, I was like, oh, cool. You know, I like Volbeat. But then I went back and I was listening to the records and I was having a lot of fun listening to them because they're just, you know, it's just fun rock and roll. I really dig it.
Yeah. I wouldn't call Volbeat a metal band these days. I'll just call them rock and roll.
Yeah, they're a rock band. I mean, they came out of that metal scene.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, there's a lot of rockabilly, pop punk, you know, rock and roll, just all types of stuff in there. It's not really metal anymore.
I will say one thing, the funniest review title, you know, someone puts a title up for a review, best one I ever read that really made me laugh was, Elvis didn't die, he moved to Denmark. Yeah, it's very fitting. That makes sense.
But, yeah, and, you know, I've, Michael Polson's a kind of fun guy in interviews, you know, when I've seen Volbeat live, he's an entertaining front man. But yeah, if you haven't listened to him, check him out.
Absolutely. And I'll be interested to see around the August period or just before, just after, if Eddie Trunk even gives him any mention or airtime or anything.
Yeah, you would think this would be a, you know, pool ball in the pocket for him, but I've never heard him talk about them. And you know, I may have missed it.
Nah, you would have heard it by now. I mean, you and I listened to Eddie Trunk enough to have...
I think it's one of those things where he's like, it's a gimmick, you know? No, it's they're just trying to sound like Elvis.
It's a gimmick, you know, unlike the Struts.
That would be my anticipation of his criticism.
Yeah, until they start giving him free shit and he's like, oh, Volbeat, what a band.
Well, once they start, you know, stroking his ego, then he'll... Like, you know, Eddie Trunk is one of those guys who, like, if you stroke his ego, he'll, like, even if he doesn't like you, he'll, you know, promote you a little bit.
He's the last bastion of rock and roll radio, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Eddie Trunk is a guy who got bullied in high school who's desperately trying to prove to his old bullies that he's famous and they're not.
Oh,
you know?
You know what Eddie Trunk's waiting for? Eddie Trunk lives for his 10-year, 20, 25-year high school reunion.
Oh, yes.
To go back and say, you know what?
He wants to go up to that girl who rejected him and say, look at me.
Yeah. Look at my daddies. Look at my daddies, Lita Ford.
Let me tell you the equivalent of this. So Lyndon B. Johnson, the president of the United States and the late 60s, you know, Vietnam and all that. When he was in high school, he was dating this girl, and her dad said, you cannot date him because he's a Johnson, And Johnson was from a town in Texas called Johnson City.
Right.
And the Johnson family founded that city, but they were kind of a joke at this point because Lyndon's dad, Sam Johnson, lost all their land in some bad real estate deals. Like, he just had a horrible business sense and they lost everything. And the Johnson family was kind of a joke. And this girl's dad said, you cannot date him because he's a Johnson. And so she dumped him. When Lyndon B. Johnson became president, he flew her and her husband up to Washington on Air Force One. That is a Chad, like, look at me now, huh? Move.
That's the absolute.
That is what Eddie Trunk wishes he could do.
That's the in your face moment that Eddie Trunk would love to have.
Oh, and you know, Lyndon Johnson's life is full of moments like that where it was just him going, ha ha ha, I'm president, to like people who rejected him when
he's
he
like
was young.
Trump before Trump became president.
I gotta tell you. Anybody out there listening, read the Years of Lyndon Johnson series by Robert Caro. It is the Lord of the Rings of presidential biographies, and you can't put it down when you start reading it. The stories will, like, make your head spin. It's unbelievable.
Got the story about Lyndon Johnson walking around pretty much with nothing on all the time?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of, believe me.
Yeah, I've heard your stories. Yeah,
I haven't gotten to him in the White House yet, but there's already like really bizarre, strange stories. And you know, but he has Eddie Trunk kind of has a similar personality profile, and that's like, you know, you didn't accept me, so I have to punish you later.
You know damn well Eddie Trunk's wife is screwing around him. She has to be with him away all the time.
Oh man, he wants to retire. I think it says a lot about him that he wants to move to Vegas and retire in Vegas. Because like, whatever you think about Vegas, it is the most tasteless place on the planet.
I do like Las Vegas. I gotta say, I had fun with it.
What would you want? Would you want to live there, though?
Maybe not. I'm not knocking exactly. People who do. I mean, it may be a great place to live. I don't know. I've never lived there.
And all due respect to Craig Cohen, you know, Craig, but Craig, I wouldn't want to live in Vegas. You know.
Yeah, but Craig moved for love, so that's why he moved there.
It's true. It's different.
Yeah.
Anyway, so next week I think we're gonna do John's pick. Is that right?
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and John's pick is a little different. It's going to be different for Rock Month. It's going to be good.
Because it's John, man. That's why.
Yeah. It looks like so the King Diamond.
King Diamond.
Is it the Ramones?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think if that's it, Stu, anything else you want to add before we Volbeat on out of here?
No, I love Volbeat. That's all what can I say? I think they're great. Look forward to their new album. You know what, mate? 2019 is a good year for albums coming out. We got Possessed. Return.
New Possessed.
A fucking blinder of an album. We got new Volbeat coming, which I am looking forward to still. We got new album by The Darkness coming. We got new Megadeth coming. It's like, spoil for riches.
It's pretty crazy how much. I'm trying to, let me look at my.
New Overkill album this year has been insane as well. Wings of War.
Yeah, we got a new Dark Throne as well. That was really good. Old Star. If you like sort of the sludgy stuff Dark Throne have been doing lately, it's really good. Unauthorized Bash Brothers Experience. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's the Lonely Island's concept album about Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco when they were playing for the Oakland A's. Fantastic record.
Lonely. I'm Reba.
Yeah, I'm Reba. Also, really good album from this year. A couple of them. Saint Vitus put out a new record with Scott Rieger's on vocals. That is fantastic.
Cool.
And Rammstein put out their first album in like over 10 years.
Yeah, I went off the boil with Rammstein years ago.
Oh, I love Rammstein. I'm sorry. I'm just...
That were good for their time with that industrial techno, you know, metal sound blend, but...
Yeah, I still like it. I like the new Amon Amarth. I'm trying to see what else. The new Queensryche is good.
Got Jeff Tate on it? No Jeff Tate, no.
No Jeff Tate, but I mean, frankly, that band sucked with Jeff Tate for so long. I think the stuff they've been doing with Todd LaTourette is better than anything they did with Tate for a long time. Oh, the new Candlemass, Door to Doom, with their original singer. It even has Tony Iommi on a track. That one's really good.
Which original singer? You're talking about Messiah?
No, before him. The guy on the first record, Epicus Dumicus Metallicus.
Oh, Leif, whatever his name was.
I forget his name. But no, it's not Messiah. It's that guy. It's the only other album he's done with them is the original one.
Oh.
John Garcia's new record, the singer of Caius, John Garcia and the Band of Gold, I liked quite a bit.
Okay.
No. Yeah, there's been a few good things. Oh, Alex Skolnick's new record. Oh wait, that's from 2018. It's going back a little bit. But yeah, there's been some good stuff this year.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I wonder if I'll make my top 10.
And if you like Dream Theater, their new album's all right.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I wasn't.
Oh, you know what? You know what I did like was the new Children of Bodom, Hexed. I like, okay. Children of Bodom. Like the teenager in me likes that. I like it.
Okay. All right. Well, I think yes! we'll.
Stu's like, all right, cutting you off, Hunter. No more. Okay.
Well,
let me show one more record. New Morrissey, California Sun, his covers album.
Really?
I love it. Oh.
Okay, I'm going to Apple Music that one.
If you like Morrissey, like, his covers album is fantastic. I've been listening to it a lot. It's called California Sun. I really enjoy it.
In the last few months, I'm starting to appreciate Morrissey, the individual, the human being, for his sport.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Speaking out against the people, the very, very people who rally against, you know, conservatives are the same ones who love Morrissey. He's like, oh, no. It's...
I know. I've been loving watching the music press try to cope with Morrissey's political views and their love of, like, the Smiths. Like, they don't know how to deal with it. It's great. Because they've spent so long just loving him, and now he has brought the wrong opinions, and so it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right.
All right, man.
Well, let's go ahead and sign off. I'm going to go ahead and say listen to Volbeat and adios.
I'm going to say listen to Volbeat as well, and let's enjoy Evelyn.
I'm sorry, I'm not gonna lie. Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.